her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited.
Chewy going to be leaving us soon. Tomorrow, he's heading back down to Florida. If you want to chime in on what we were talking about before, or listen to what Chewy had to say about people staying in his house, not properly cleaning it, potentially, you can always go back, listen to Hour 1 on the ESPN Wisconsin app. There was an article that Rob Domofsky put out. Chew. Lessons learned by Packers coach LaFleur after Sunday tie. And again, it kind of goes over a lot of the things that Matt LaFleur had said on Tuesday in his press conference. This is the seventh season of Matt LaFleur. Is he too far along to be learning some of the lessons that he's had to learn this year? Or is it he has to learn some of these lessons because when he came in, it was a pretty veteran team, and this is still a young team that he has to help bring along, and he doesn't realize that all these young guys know what he thinks they should know?
I mean, it's not just on him. It's on his assistants, mm-hmm. You know. I mean, I would, obviously he takes all the blame, right?
Yeah.
And he should.
It's what the money's
but,
for.
I mean, I can just speak from experience. Andy Reid, day one in that situation, says, get your ass up off the field and get into position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? The lollygagging and stuff like that. I mean, these guys have been playing football for how long? They should know in this situation. And I think the NFL as a whole, not just the Packers, and I think a lot of it's quarterbacks, they think they're too cool with the clock. No, I'm serious.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Oh, we got 25 seconds. We're on the minus 40. Plenty of time, you know?
Yeah.
You know when you have plenty of time? When you're on the 10-yard line. That's when you can be like, okay, let's just, I got this. Not when you're still a ways away from the end zone. It's just gotten too cool, you know? And the guys like Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Mahomes.
They make it look
they
easy.
They spoil it for you, yeah. Because they make it too look too easy. But not everybody could do that. And Jordan, you're not in that. You're not in that category yet, you know?
So if this is a lesson for Matt LaFleur and the way everything ended this past Sunday, how long does it take that lesson to sink in for a player? Like, if you were in, I'm not sure, again, I can't recall any specific situations where, you know, things went awry down the stretch the way it did for this team on Sunday when you were a younger player. But is that a lesson you just have to learn one time and now you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and Andy would always have my back. He may not have it in the instance, because he was smart enough to know, hey, you just got to let the head coach rip mm-hmm. your new you know what. We'll take care of it in meetings. Don't worry about it. And that's how coaches should work. It should just be one time. And I don't know whether the players have too much power, but coaches got to coach. You know,
mm-hmm.
It should only take one time. One time to get in your you know what ripped. You know, and sometimes you deserve it. Sometimes you don't think you do and find out that you do deserve it. And sometimes you flat out don't deserve it. You know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, they deserve it here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many? It just bothers me. And Golden is young, but it bothers me that in that situation when you're under X amount of seconds, Romeo Doubs is helping Golden get off the turf. Get your ass off the turf. Let's go. Sense of urgency. You know, you're always going to blame the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of times I blame the position coach. You know, Holmgren said this, and I'll never forget. Once you start letting the little stuff go,
mm-hmm.
then you start letting the bigger stuff go. And then it snowballs. That's why you have to nip it in the bud right away. So I think it was a good thing. If it's week 13 or 14 and this happens and yeah. they have a tie and they miss the number one seed because of a damn tie, that'll be criminal.
What does this team have to do to get you, because we did always do power rankings on Tuesday when those come out. The Packers were eighth, which I felt like is fair after going 0-1-1 in your last two games against teams in which you were favored by a touchdown, right? Like, you were expected to win these games and win them handily, and you did not win either one of those games. What do they have to do in the coming weeks to potentially recapture that feeling that we had after week two? Because we were flying high.
Yeah.
They beat the Commanders. They beat the Lions at home. They look dominant in which doing it. Hey, this could be the best team in the NFC. And I don't know if they're in that upper echelon right now, the way they've played through the first quarter of the season.
Let me just tell you how players think here. And I'll take Micah Parsons, for example.
Okay.
And you read stuff. You just do, because there's a lot of downtime. Micah Parsons knows PFF, and he knows the grade he got. And then he knows what everyone else got. I can tell you, Micah Parsons probably for a blip second goes, did I make the right decision in coming here? Do these guys work hard? Are they serious? Does their motor run like mine? I guarantee. And that's the problem with a young team. See, we were veterans, and we didn't mind. I mean, Frank was a pain in the ass. But we didn't mind yelling at other players and stuff like that. And veterans would get on guys like, hey, let's go. You got to make that catch. Let's go. Or penalties or anything. I just don't know. I see Jordan Love as kind of a Brett.
Yeah, because Brett never...
Brett wasn't vocal, wasn't, you know, this. But when he said something...
You listened.
I don't think Jordan's there yet because he's still kind of like, well, I'm young. And he's a nice guy. You can't be a nice guy on the football field. You really can't. Sometimes you got to rip. And I don't have problems. Like, Brett would rip me sometimes, you know? But Brett did it in a way where you have to be careful because he knew he was going to throw interceptions. So I could come right back at him.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't yell it. He'd be like, he would be more encouraged. Hey, come on. Let's go. We need you here. Let's go. I don't know who the leader of this offense is. I mean, everyone says Jordan. I mean, Elgton Jenkins is a soft-spoken guy, right?
Yeah.
The receivers are too young. Kraft tries to, but he tries to toe the line not to really offend anybody.
I got to imagine that's a difficult spot to be, and maybe becomes easier for him once some of his contemporaries, like Romeo Doubs, because, again, they're not keeping everybody that was a part of the two draft classes that brought in the majority of wide receivers and the majority of tight ends to this roster. They're not keeping them all. So if Kraft is one of those guys that signs a second contract, I wonder if it becomes easier for him to be a leader because now the contemporaries, you know what I'm saying? The guys that came in with him, now he can be a leader and somebody that these guys look up to as they replace the guys that leave with younger players.
What I see from Kraft, and I get it, I totally get it because he's, what, in his third year?
Yeah.
He tries to do it through the media because he's a little unsure if he can do it in front of the team. You see what I'm saying?
So he drops things
like he did it. Was it last year after the playoffs? He's like,
he wanted to be more of a vocal leader. Yes.
He said something like.
Yes. He saw some things that he let go.
He did not like. And he said something. I can't remember. I read it in Europe. I think I did. I don't think I was dreaming it. But he said something else to the fact of like, we need to do this. I don't know if he's saying that to the team or he's saying it to the media so it gets to the team. Because I think he's like, I'm still a young guy. I really don't want to open my mouth.
That would be like if you, in your third year, were trying to emerge and you're trying to get Robert Brooks, who came in with, you know what I'm saying? Like Edgar Bennett. These are guys that are more your contemporaries and came in with you.
And then
right?
Micah Parsons has it, but he's so new and he doesn't really know the guys. I can tell you this. If Micah Parsons was here from the start of his career, after that performance in Dallas, where he graded out at a 94 and everyone else was in the 70s, he probably would have said something.
Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't have been real nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But I think Micah's got to be that leader. I don't know if they have that vocal leader on offense because Josh Jacobs is that veteran. But he's not like an outspoken guy either.
And I played with guys, Gabe, that tune it out. They don't give a sugar.
Yeah.
They don't. They just don't, you know? Which is frustrating.
When you hold on to that SH and sugar,
yeah,
does it bother you that
Joshy?
Well, but Joshy didn't even flinch.
He didn't.
No, He didn't even, like, he's so used to it now. He doesn't even flinch anymore.
Why is that, Josh?
Because
you have confidence in me?
You haven't had a mishap in a while with that one.
Who scares you the most, me or Jen?
Jen.
Fair. Fair. But that's frustrating because I, even on the Super Bowl team, I'm not going to name names, but it's just hard that guys that don't give a you know what, you know?
Like who?
No, I'm not going there.
Come on. It's like a Friday for you. What do you care?
I mean, didn't you famously have a guy not show up? Wasn't there? Wasn't,
for what?
Wasn't there somebody who had an issue like the week of the Super Bowl?
Didn't show up.
I don't know if I'm misremembering that then.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they had, I mean, Gabe Wilkins the second year, you know, decided not to play.
That's the one I was referencing.
But there's a difference between I'm all about myself. I don't want to get hurt because I'm getting a big contract.
Yeah.
And like, I don't care if I grade out at 90 or I grade out at 70.
Yeah.
Which
one bothers you more as a player?
The latter. The
yeah,
whoever the guy that doesn't care.
Yeah, the latter.
I mean, wouldn't that bother you?
I don't know which one would bother me more. I really don't.
But I get the one. I don't get the other.
I get,
why are you playing if you don't care?
Paycheck.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that'd be the only reason, right? That's the only thing I can come up with. Is. The money's pretty good.
It's a pretty good athlete. Gabe, that person bothers me, and the person that bothers me that can't look in the mirror and say, I suck. T-Buck.
Yeah.
Drove me nuts. You know? Like, dude, you're not very good. Okay? Stop. In your third year, stop walking around like you're the fifth pick in the draft because that's embarrassing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, you're in the league now. Yeah. I get it.
God, he just bothers the ever-living daylights out of me.
I know.
You know?
The burnt toast thing was still my favorite.
Because treat people the way you want to be treated. Fair?
Seems fair.
Fair.
Seems fair. Seems very fair. We've got to get to the top 8 at 8. We do that coming up next, but you can taste what all the screaming is about this week when you stock up on your favorites. Screaming Sicilian favorites at Piggly Wiggly. Screaming pizzas on sale, 2 for $10. Try them all, because it's not just the original Screaming Sicilian. We're talking about Screaming Sicilian tavern style. We're talking about thin and crispy. We're talking about, yeah, that Detroit-style pizza. Each one loaded with toppings. You can't go wrong. Get your Screamin' Sicilian faves at Piggly Wiggly. Now, 2 for $10 while this deal lasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey ESPN Milwaukee listeners, Josh DiMaggio here for my friends at Wanna Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. It's NFL season, so I've got some bets for Thursday night, which looks like it's going to be an ugly one for the San Francisco 49ers. I have Christian McCaffrey over 6.5 receptions, DeMarcus Robinson over 2.5 receptions, Brian Robinson over 17.5 rushing yards, and then over the weekend, Garrett Wilson against those Cowboys to have 67.5 receiving yards. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We will get to the top 8 in just a moment. I have 8 things in front of me. Chewy and Josh guess back and forth, and then we open up to the fans, 800-990-3776. Once they each get one incorrect, whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. But this from the private talks and talk and text line. Shout out to my buddy Craig, who got this note from an official talking about the coach communication to the helmet when the play clock is not running. So the situation the Packers are faced with, 28 seconds left, clock is ticking down, there is no play clock because... Well, the clock is running and it's under 40 seconds. So he got this note from an official who then he passed it along to us. The C2P, coach to player, channel should always be open when the play clock is not running and or there is an injury on the field. So if the play clock is not running, that means you've got free reign. Like,
is it then in your helmet while the play's happening or does it turn off?
I'm guessing it's always on.
Huh. It's an interesting quirk.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, right?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right, because you don't want to be in a spot where a play ends quickly and then you don't turn it on in time and they're trying to communicate because every split second matters.
Do you think every player should have one in there? I mean, obviously we have the technology.
I don't think it's a bad idea. Like, if the NFL decided to do that today, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what the drawback would be.
There's probably some unintended consequence. Yeah. Maybe it makes it easier to run the 2 minute because everybody can hear.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you, instead of looking for a signal from Jordan going, right, we're doing but whatever he's doing.
What about everyone being able to communicate with one another?
How do you imagine that?
You put a microphone in a face mask.
Yeah, but...
And I can talk to Free here and say, hey, Free, right, hit this quick.
How would you be able to communicate to the guy next to you versus... everybody all
yeah, that'd
at once.
Be so much chatter.
I also feel like you would abuse it.
Yes.
What do you mean abuse it?
You know what I mean.
Yeah. You'd be getting after guys. Hey, nice block.
can't give players that much freedom.
No.
Can't be trusted.
I know it would be pretty much significantly an advantage to the offense, but isn't all the rules sort of an advantage to the offense at this point?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like...
Yeah,
I understand why the defense would be not thrilled about that, but
it's just I have a
sort
problem.
Of the way the game wants
I have
it
a
to
problem
be.
With the cutting, though. That's kind of weak. Because if you can tackle a guy low in that instance, why can't I cut a guy coming up to make it?
Because you have
what's
to,
the difference?
Because you have to have the illusion of caring about player safety.
Yeah, it's the same thing that Schefter talked about it with us yesterday. Illusion of player safety. Oh, we're only keeping overtime at 10 minutes. We want you to play an 18th game, but overtime, yeah. Yeah. The extra 5 minutes every once in a while, that's player safety.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to keep the illusion of player safety from time to time in order to get the real things that you want.
Fair enough.
All right, 8 things in front of me. I am excited about Brewers postseason play. They will open up on Saturday.
It's like what we do with you. We give you power rankings to get the rest out of you.
You don't think I knew that? You suck. All right, what do we got?
I am excited for Brewers postseason. They're either going to be playing at 1 p.m. Central or 8 p.m. Central on Saturday, and it all depends upon Red Sox-Yankees today. Yankees win, Brewers play at 1, Red Sox win, they play at 8 on Saturday to open up the divisional series. They also play the winner of Cubs and Padres, who play today. But I am looking for, in Brewers postseason history, the 8 pitchers who have pitched the most innings.
Ooh. All right, that's number 1's easy, Josh. CeCe.
Is it? It was one playoff series. I mean, playoff season.
Yes.
He did pitch a lot. He probably went deep in all those games.
But then they went, didn't they go through a kind of stretch where they didn't make the playoffs after that for a little while?
This is only in the postseason. Just
yeah,
just so
I know.
You go, okay.
I get it. I'll still stay with CeCe.
I think that's a fair one.
Okay, so you guys don't remember that CeCe only pitched one game in the Brewers postseason.
Oh.
And he got rocked. He lasted
what?
3 1/3.
So when was he was pitching in the regular season just like every third day?
Yes.
That's Bush.
Yeah. Excuse me. 3 and he got rocked, but he was 3 2/3.
Wow, I
and
don't
three
remember
and two
that.
Thirds. He gave up 5 runs.
Okay.
Six hits, walked four. It was almost like he expanded all of the energy to get there, and then once he pitched in the postseason against the Phillies, he got rocked.
This is a name I don't want to say, but I... Is Trussine on the list?
You guys just... Why are you overthinking this?
Yovani.
Ulysses Chacin is 12.1 innings. He's not on the list.
Yovanis.
Yovani Gallardo, number four on the list. He's pitched 26 innings in Brewers postseason baseball.
All right, Josh, here we go. Now we go.
You guys... Yeah. You guys each get a mulligan here. You're overthinking this.
Corbin
Burns. There we go. Corbin's number six on the list. He's pitched 19 innings.
Fresh Steady Freddy.
Freddy's number seven on the list. He's pitched 18 innings.
Is Woody on the list?
Woody's number three on the list, 28 and a third
innings.
All right,
reset it.
All right, so we are looking for the top eight pitchers who have thrown the most innings in Brewers postseason history. You guys do not have one and two. Three is Woody. Four is Yovani Gallardo. Do not have five. Six is Corbin Burns. Seven is Steady Freddy Peralta, you do not have eight.
Are these starting pitchers only or pitchers altogether?
Pitchers altogether, but they are all starters.
Okay.
Were they good around 82? Were they in the playoffs before and after?
My history isn't great there, but I would imagine
that they had to be.
Who's the famous one from that team?
Well, Raleigh was.
Yeah, these are all starting pitchers. Yeah. You said though. Sutton?
Don Sutton. I'll go Don Sutton.
Don Sutton's number eight on the list.
Okay,
he threw
18
innings for the Brewers in 1982.
All right, you're up, Josh.
I'm running out. We said Freddie.
Yeah.
We said Woodruff. We said Corbin.
800-990-3776, just in case.
How many more do we have left?
Three. After choking, I guess in honor of Jen, you guys decided to just throw out random ass ones.
Ben Sheets. All right, I'm out.
How often was he in the playoffs?
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. Did he pitch at all?
I don't think so.
How many names, and this is, I'm also trying to help the audience here because I'm running out. How many names are that guy?
None of them.
None of them? Okay, so they're all fairly achievable?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. But all you guys did great. You guys,
once we
there's a good mixture of new and old school on this. So 800-990-3776. I think we should be able to knock out the rest of this list fairly quickly. In Brewers history, we're looking for the most innings pitched in Brewers postseason.
We're going
history.
Blind here, Gabe.
All right. Caller number one, what's your name?
Hey,
and what's your guess?
Kevin?
Hey, Kevin. What do you got?
Kevin, how are you?
I would say Jerry Augustine.
The doctor of pitching is not on the list.
Ah.
We got again,
this
was
Brewers postseason. Postseason pitching, most innings pitched.
Hey, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Nick from Greendale.
All right, Nick. What is your guess? We're looking for in Brewers history, the eight pitchers with the most innings pitched in the postseason. Quickly, I'll reset the list for you. One and two is open. Woodruff is three. Yovani Gallardo is four. Do not have five. Corbin Burns is six. Freddy Peralta, seven. Don Sutton, number eight.
I'm going to take a wild guess. Jeff Suppan.
Soup is not on the list.
Okay.
Just overthinking all of this a little too much.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Again, it's significant names in Brewers history.
Sherry and Franklin, you are up.
Hi.
Hello.
Mike Caldwell.
Mike Caldwell, number two on the list. He has pitched 29 innings in Brewers postseason history. You got another guest for us, Sherry.
Okay, Giovanni Gallardo.
So we've done Gallardo, so yep. Gallardo's already on the list. You get to guess again. We just have two more left. We have number one and number five left on the list.
Okay. Could you reset the list? Please?
Yep. We do not have one. Two is Mike Caldwell. Three is Brandon Woodruff. Four, Yovani Gallardo. Do not have five. Corbin Burns is six. Freddy Peralta, seven. Don Sutton, number eight.
Okay. Jerry
Augustine.
Yeah. We've done Augie. He was incorrect. That is where good. Hey, Sherry, you got one on the list. We certainly appreciate it. 800-990-3776.
Caldwell.
Caldwell, he was in 81 and 82.
Oh, okay. There's,
and okay. Maybe guys threw more innings back then. Who knows? Who could say for sure, Chewy? 800-990-3776.
There's one that sticks out that is probably number one here.
Who do we got next, Joshy?
I believe this is Jim in Mequon.
Is that you, Jim?
Yeah, yes. This is Tim.
Oh, Tim. Tim in Mequon. Tim. All right, Tim. Can you close out our top eight list?
Yeah, I got two guesses. I'm not sure either, but I have a shot in the dark. I'm going to say Zach Greinke.
So Zach Greinke is number nine on the list, just outside.
I forgot about Greinke.
16.2 innings back in 2011, so that is incorrect.
Is he still pitching? Or is he done?
I think he's done now.
Okay.
Next up, I believe this is Dan in Sussex.
All right, Dan, can you close out our top eight?
I think so. I got Pete Vukovic.
Vuk is number one on the list. 43.2 innings. Can you get who is number five?
Yeah, how about Moose Haas?
Moose Haas is number five on the list. Moose. Yeah, so it was a good combination of like those old school guys from the 81, 82, and obviously the new guys in Woody, Yavani, Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta. I feel like every era of Moose playoff baseball is kind of represented there.
I played golf with Moose. He's a good dude. Kind of short, though.
Really?
For a pitcher?
Yeah.
Huh?
I have no idea how tall he is. I can hear. Let me click on his name, and we'll see what his bio says. It says he's 6 feet.
And Gilbert's 315. Okay. Fair?
Fair. Okay. Fair enough. 800-990-3776. Thanks for playing the Top 8 at 8. A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, who's a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer some of your questions too. So stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District. Now, it's bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought every time that they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, we're at the part of the week where I just cannot wait. I feel like I cannot wait anymore for this Brewers playoff series. I've enjoyed being able to kick back and watch the stress-free baseball the last couple of days, and we get more of it today. Three of the four series are going to the third and deciding game today. Only one that ended in two games and a sweep, Dodgers disposing of the Reds quickly out in Los Angeles, so they'll get the Phillies. But, man, we are... We're getting closer and closer. I cannot wait. I'm just so excited for this.
I know you say you don't care about the Cubs, Padres, but who would you rather face in the next round, Dodgers or Phillies?
Probably the Dodgers.
Yeah, but isn't their lineup like
Phillies lineup's pretty brutal too. I mean, both those teams have really good lineups.
But Phillies lost one of their top pitchers.
They did lose their top pitcher, and they've played well since he left. The Dodgers have kind of been beat up all season long, and their pitching staff as well still have good enough pitching.
I wonder who the players want. You always want. Let me tell you what. When you get to the playoffs,
I'm sure
you always want.
And I'm sure they have their reasons. Like, I don't want to see this specific pitcher because I don't. You know, and I'm guessing it goes from player to player.
Like, I can tell you this: Super Bowl year.
Yeah.
Dallas versus Carolina. I wanted Dallas. That's a lie.
The fans wanted Dallas.
I know they wanted Dallas.
Because I remember after the sloppy game that you played against the 49ers, and not that you guys played sloppy, the field literally had to be replaced because it was so rainy and bad. I remember the fans chanting, "We want Dallas." Because
I do too.
Again, as Packers fans in 1996, we thought you guys were better than anyone, and it didn't matter. And plus... You guys had home field advantage.
That was an easy.
And in all of those years, like you guys always had to go to Dallas. Even the regular season, you had to go to Dallas. We never got Dallas in Lambeau until 1997.
Yeah, That was kind of an easy path when you think about it, because everyone thought it was going to be Denver coming out of the AFC.
Yeah.
And they lost to Jacksonville.
They did. Right away in the division.
Yeah.
I don't know, the Niners
Dallas,
well.
But Dallas wasn't Dallas, but we were shocked that they lost to Carolina. Yeah. But it was really two games in a row, Carolina and then New England.
Yeah.
We're like, we're not losing this.
Well, and you probably didn't think you were going to, because wasn't Elvis Gerbach starting for Steve Young in the Niner game? Pretty sure he was.
He was, yes. Yeah. But they were fine. They weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of knew we were winning that game. I don't know. I don't know if that game scared us. I don't really think it did.
I just think of the Elvis. Well, you guys felt like you were invincible at home.
Yes.
And I think that.
Which we
that,
were.
Yeah.
You guys, you know?
125, 26, whatever it was.
Because we even went down to Carolina at the beginning. I think we went down 3-0 because Brett threw, shocking, a pick. And there was no panic. I was like, it's fine.
Do you, Josh, do you have a preference on who the Brewers play, Padres or the Cubbies?
This has been difficult for me for the better part of, well, since the matchup got announced. I would love nothing more than to beat the Chicago Cubs.
And me too.
Yeah.
And send Craig Counsell packing. On the other hand, I can't imagine anything worse than getting sent packing by Craig Counsell and the Chicago Cubs. So it's one of those tight wire acts.
Where it would be the most euphoric, but would also hurt the most.
Yes.
So you're kind of playing scared.
Well, yeah, it's the playoffs.
Sorry, I didn't realize there was a caveat to playing scared.
You can't play scared unless it's the playoffs. Yeah. Then you can play scared.
I understand Gabe says bring all comers, don't care who it is. That makes sense. The Brewers have been the best team in baseball for the better part of the entirety of the season. Once things got rolling in the right direction, things really took place for them. But I can't ignore what I've seen happen recently.
That's fair.
And we skipped the wild card round. Huge. Gigantic. Needed that.
Thank God.
But I still have a little bit of the willies. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. Is there that discussion in baseball, though, with time off? You know how in the NFL, sometimes the bye week hurts you, you don't come out as fresh. Is there that same discussion in baseball?
Yeah, and it's still pretty new in baseball because it used to be, you know, everybody would play right away, or you just had the one game playoff for the wild card, and then everybody would play in the divisional series. So it's still relatively new in terms of dealing with it. Because Pat Murphy said he had reached out to a lot of people, and everybody hates it. Like, everybody hates the bye.
Yeah.
Because you are a creature of habit in baseball. That's why the Brewers had a scrimmage going. They're trying to practice with intent this week.
Yeah.
Obviously trying to not get anybody hurt, but you still have to get your work in order to stay sharp. Nobody likes having the bye.
Football, you love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel it kind of goes... Love it. That debate happened the last time the Packers were in that position, right?
Love it.
And then they laid the egg in 2021.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Even though you come out a little rusty, there's more pep.
Okay.
It just is. There's more pep.
Which is fine. But also, there's experience with that during the season, right? Because you have a bye week. I guess you have it a little bit in baseball with the All-Star break, where you can kind of get a little bit of time off. But
yeah,
it's just nobody has really cracked that code yet in baseball.
Yeah.
Trying to navigate what it's like coming off the bye. But I'll tell you this, what I'm really happy about, that series won 3 games. Heck yeah. Have them play as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Wear out arms, do whatever you got to do.
Yep.
That series going 3 is fantastic. Our coverage of this October brought to you by Neurospine Center of Wisconsin, also brought to you by Annex Wealth Management, Boucher Automotive, and Delta Dental of Wisconsin. Do want to tell you, though, about my friends at Mantality as well. Maybe you're dealing with symptoms of low testosterone. You don't even know it. That's where Mantality can help you, just like they've helped me. Maybe you have low energy or motivation, fatigue, you're just kind of tired all the time. That's what it was for me. I thought it was, I'm doing a morning show, I'm just going to be more tired, waking up, you know, sleep cycle, getting interrupted. That's maybe what it is. No, that's what it was. For me, it was low testosterone. But maybe you've got some weight gain or a little bit of muscle loss. Maybe, you know, around that belly fat, can't really lose that. You're anxious, moody, irritable. Mentality can help if it's low testosterone. They focus on your free testosterone levels. A lot of doctors overlook that. So they want to ensure that your treatment is tailored to you and your body. They also offer FDA-approved testosterone therapy combined with semaglutide to target fat while maintaining muscle. So what are the results? What does this all mean? Your energy comes back, belly fat burns off, your muscles strengthen, and you feel like yourself again, confident, driven, ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be your best for you and your family. Go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. Find out how to book an appointment. mentalityhealth.com/radio. Find out if you have low testosterone and if Mentality can help.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What was a rebound? Rebound? What'd you just say?
Robust.
Robust. Robust.
You could say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice rebound word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat.
Well,
you're rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy hitting the road. He's not going to be here tomorrow. But Joshy and I cannot wait for it. It is going to be our Brewers playoff preview edition. A lot of guests lined up. We're going to have a lot of fun. Chewy, safe travels, buddy.
Deuces, as you would say.
How many over under on how many technical issues we're going to have getting him connected on Monday?
I plan to talk to him on Tuesday.
Looks like I'm having a good Sunday.
We'll be in town. She's coming up next.